the anointed one. And day after day after day, he wasn't seeing it. Day after day, he would come to the temple. He was out and about, and he didn't see it. How many of you would believe that Simeon probably was thinking, you know what? Did I miss it? Am I really going to see it? Is this truly going to come about? How many of you have heard the voice of God saying that he's going to deliver you, heal you, prosper you, bless you, whatever it might be that he has said to you, and day after day after day after day goes by and you're not seeing it? Are you getting discouraged? Are you giving up? Since you understand this is going to be a year of truth, truth always comes about. And so we need to have this attitude like Simeon here and say, you know what? Holy Spirit told me I'm not going to die until I see the anointed one. And you know what? I'm going to live my life every day that I'm going to see it happen. One day Simeon woke up and the Spirit of God came upon him and said, you know what? Today is the day. Today is the appointed day. Today is that day that you're going to see. And I'm sure Simeon was not sitting there saying, you think so, God? Really? Today? No. It said that Simeon went to the temple. Let's read it. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, and then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now stop there for a moment. So it says here that he came into the temple in the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you a question. When you came into church today, did you come in the Spirit or did you come in the flesh? Ooh. Did you come all grumpy? I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. Did you come today all grumpy? Because somebody was late getting to the car? I wasn't grumpy today, was I? I was in the Spirit today. Whatever the situation might be, God is saying, I want you to come in the Spirit. Because when you come in the Spirit and not coming into the flesh, all of a sudden you're coming with an attitude of what? Reception now. See, you are tuned into what the Holy Spirit has. And what happens is so many times people do not receive the things of God because they come in their flesh and not in the Spirit. You're getting truth today. You're getting revelation today. You're getting something that's going to help you for every single day from here on out. You need to wake up and say, Holy Spirit, I'm awake today. Let's go. I want to go in your Spirit today. Don't go to work in the flesh. Go to the work in the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to start going to work in the Spirit. You students, say, I'm going to go to school in the Spirit. Think about that. Man, if you go in the Spirit, you're going to receive. You go in the flesh, you won't. Simeon got up that day. He went in the Spirit. And what happened? He received and he seen the Lord. And when he seen the Lord, he took him in his arms. He blessed. He was blessing God and says, and this is verse 29. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. So he's simply saying, man, I've seen it. I can go now. I can check out of here. But then he goes on. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And so what he was making a comment there was, I, looking into his face, Jesus' face, he says, I have seen salvation. And as you heard me mention last night, I want to read the definition of that. The Greek definition The Greek word translated salvation is the same word that is translated as healing, to save and to heal. Also meaning deliverance. It is referred to freedom from both physical danger and the effects of sin. So when he was sitting there and he was looking into the very face of Jesus, it says, I have behold salvation. I have behold my healing. I have behold my deliverance. I have behold my victory. I have behold my prosperity. When you start looking in the Spirit into the Word of God, because like we mentioned last night, the Word of God is Jesus. When you start looking into the Word and you look in the Spirit, when you go and read your Bible, go in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because if you go in the Spirit, you're going to receive revelation. And you'll start to see, I am healed. I am prosperous. I am deliverous. I am more than an overcomer. I am everything that he said I am. And when he was looking into the very eyes of Jesus, even though he was an infant, a toddler there, or not, he wasn't even a toddler, he was just an infant, he was looking and he was seeing everything of who he was in him. And then it goes on and says in verse 31, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. So he was, he did not just come for just the Jewish people, he came for all people. That means you and me. Mean he came for the good person, the bad person, and in-between person. He came for the ugly person, the good-looking person, and the person, yeah. No, we're all beautiful in God's eyes. But God, Jesus came at an appointed time for everybody. And it says here, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. So he came and he says, there is light. There is an unveiling or a revelation. There is light being coming forth. I want you to flip over. Hold your finger right here because we're coming right back to Psalms 119. In 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light into my path. You could translate that, Jesus is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus is a lamp. He is a light. He is the revealer. Jesus brought revelation that night. And even though he was infant, he was not completely developed as a big man. He was a little man. But he was still a powerful man. The word revelation means truth. But what we find out also, well, let me go ahead and read the rest of this here. It says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now you look that word revelation up, it means truth. You look the word glory up, and it means weight or weightier or heavy. So what he was really saying there when Simeon was speaking, he says, this child, he is bringing truth. There's an unveiling of everything that has been hidden because people didn't realize they was delivered. People didn't realize they was healed. People didn't realize they was more than overcomers. He says there is an unveiling and there is a heaviness, a weightiness of this truth. When there is something heavy upon you, you know it, right? I'm not going to ask, but if I would have Alex come up here and jump on my shoulders, I would know that. Not saying anything bad about you, Alex. But even if I had Jazz come up here and jump on my shoulders, I would still know that. But if you just took a feather and put on my shoulder, I might not know that. I bet you there's probably somebody looking at your back right now, and they're probably seeing a piece of lint fuzz on you somewhere, and you didn't even know it. Everybody's looking now. See, when something is not weighty, it will go unnoticed. When the glory of His Word has not been revealed to you, it'll go unnoticed to you. You're not getting this. When you are being led by the Spirit of God and you start to understand the truth, all of a sudden the glory comes upon that and it starts becoming heavy upon you, and all of a sudden you start understanding, there's something different about me today. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm prosperous. I'm victorious. Goes on verse 33. And his father and his mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." Now, most people don't even read that part of the scriptures. We usually stop with just the celebration time of Jesus being born in a manger. But here, this is very significant because Simeon is prophesying and he's speaking that Jesus is going to be a revelator. He's going to bring truth, and there's salvation, and there's going to be a heaviness upon. I don't believe the church realized how heavy the anointing is. Man, when you say Merry Christmas, there should be some weight behind that. But Simeon made this, he spoke this prophecy to Mary, and Mary was all excited, but she didn't understand it fully. But he says, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." What was this comment really meaning? He was saying, you know what? There is going to be a lot of people, even religious people, that are going to fall, because they're not going to accept what he has to say. Are you accepting what he has to say today? Are you accepting what his word says? Are you accepting that you are a child of the Most High today? Are you accepting that you are the righteousness of God? You might be sitting here today and say, "But I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. How could God ever love me? How could God ever forgive me?" Guess what? You need to accept it. Because if you do not accept what he is saying, that he has already paid the price, he's already delivered you, he's already healed you, he's already prospered you. If you don't receive that, you're going to fall. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day, they had a hard time understanding that. Hold your finger there, and I want you to flip over just a page in Luke 4, starting verse 18. This is when Jesus is older. He walks into the temple, and he makes this statement: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." This, he's really quoting, or he's reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And he says, "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all who were speaking speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me as a physician," and go on down there. But I think we miss sight of something here. Jesus got up in the temple, opened up the book of Isaiah to chapter 61, and he started reading, and he started saying, this is who I am, and he says, and proclaimed the favorable year of the Lord. And as soon as he said that, what did he do? He closed the book. Isaiah 61 wasn't over with. There was a lot more to read. We don't think about that. Because the very next part of that verse talks about bringing vengeance. And Jesus was simply saying, this isn't my appointed time to bring vengeance. This is my appointed time to bring deliverance. And they struggled with that. Because they couldn't comprehend, they couldn't wrap their brains around, this man is sitting here saying that he is going to bring freedom. He's going to relieve oppression. He's going to bring comfort to Israel. And they simply say, not on my watch. Jesus' appointed time is yet to still be when he brings vengeance. Okay? But he stood up that day and he started describing who he was at that particular time. And he was to bring oppressed freedom. Well, let's read it. I closed my Bible. I told you not to. I did it. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive. So he's saying, you know what? There's going to be no more captivity. And they struggled with that. And the prophecy started being fulfilled of what Simeon said. There's going to be a rise, or there's going to be a fall, and there's going to be a rise. People that would not receive, they fell. They stumbled. The people that did receive, they rose up. And they truly become disciples and believers. Today, who are you? Which one are you? Are you going to be one that truly receives? Or are you going to be one that's going to oppose? Are you going to be one to sit there and say, I don't believe all that healing stuff. I don't believe all that prosperity stuff. I don't believe all that victory stuff. Guess what? You're going to fall. Well, maybe it's for somebody else, but it's not for me. Guess what? Somebody else is going to rise, but you're going to fall. Why? Because you have not allowed the revelation of what Jesus said and who he is get heavy on you. And let me just say something. If Alex or Jazz, either one, tries to jump on my back, but I keep running from it, say, I don't have time for this, I'm never really going to feel their impression. But you know what? If I spend time and allow them to jump on me, if Alex jumps on my back and I carry him around, by the end of the day, I'm going to feel it. Right, Rick? I told Rick, boy, I've been praying for him all week. How many of you prayed for Rick? You got at least two of us. If you don't know what, Rick's been out in this cold weather delivering your mail. Carrying that mail bag. And I bet you by the end of the day, he feels what he's carried. See, when you carry the word, all of a sudden, by the end of the day, you're going to know you've carried something. You may be a little tired, but I'm telling you, if you run from the word, if you run from his presence and you don't allow the presence to get upon your life, if you don't spend quality time in his presence, what you're going to find out, there's not going to be much of an impression. If either one of those, Jazz probably weighs about 45 pounds. But if I packed her around all day and she hung around my neck, by the end of the day, there'd probably be marks around my neck. There would be a physical change. You start carrying the word with you, and all of a sudden you'll start having a physical change. You'll start seeing things differently. Why? Because it becomes heavy upon you. Got to hurry up. In verse 35, and it says, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I want to read that again because I think you got to hear this. And he says, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And so he's prophesying, saying, Mary, your very heart will be pierced because the hearts of people will be revealed. And that's what took place when they crucified him. When they crucified him, the true thoughts and feelings of the people was expressed, and Mary knew exactly where they stood. This is going to be a year of truth. And what you're going to find out, and you've already seen it happen, but you're going to start seeing where people truly stand. We know where the world stands. But God's saying this is going to be a year where you're going to find out where the church stands. This is going to be a year where you're going to find where the church stands and what's really revealed in your heart. He says a sword will pierce even your heart, your very own heart, your thoughts. And what does Hebrews 4:12 says? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This word is going to come manifest this year. I'll wrap this up. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come back. Today we are celebrating that Jesus is alive. And today you've got a tool in your hand, a weapon in your hand to start beating that pinata of the devil and breaking him open. Will you allow the glory of God to come heavy upon your life? Will you allow it by spending time with him? I thought it was very interesting. If you really start looking through the scriptures, you'll find that in the beginning, the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to be around Jesus just like everybody else because they wanted to see what he was all about. But once they found out who he was all about, then they backed away from him and they just looked for people to try to go and to tempt him and to catch him in something. Today, are you going to be one that's going to just sit back and hopefully you'll catch something from him every now and then? Or will you be one that pursues him and cries out to him and you start seeing signs and wonders and miracles happen in your life? Today, we do celebrate that he is alive. Merry Christmas. Lively, excited anointing of the Most High is upon your life today. And I believe that your life will never be the same because you're receiving the truth of his word. You have seen his salvation. You are healed. You are delivered. You're prosperous. You're victorious. And as you spend time in his word, you spend time with him, you're going to allow him to get on you. And that glory is going to come heavy upon you. And it's going to start changing you from the inside out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, what greater gift could you give Jesus? Every birthday party, you need to bring a gift. Did you come today in the Spirit bringing him a gift? That gift today should be your heart. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, this is your day to give him your heart. If you have already known him but you walked away, want to rededicate your life, you can give him your heart back. If you're completely right with God, God is simply saying, will you still give me your heart? I'm going to ask for everybody to just pray this prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we give you our heart today. We love you, and we just want to bless you by giving you our life. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us salvation. Thank you for revealing to us and giving us your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet today. This altar is open. I believe my grandma was a lot like Jesus, because I remember as a little kid, I'm the youngest of three. I got two older brothers. But I remember, I don't care whose birthday it was. If it was my oldest brother Rick's birthday, I got excited, because I knew my grandma and grandpa was coming over. And if I knew that my brother was going to get a present, guess what? I was going to get a present. And that's the neat thing about God. It's his birthday, and we're giving him a present. But you know what? He's going to give one back to us. His very life. Healing, deliverance, whatever it might be you need today. Your gift is at this altar. Just come and get it as we worship the Lord.
Holy Spirit, Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your